The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome you to another day. It is Thursday, and glad all of you are here. We have a lot to do today, including some very interesting guests. Let's start with some headlines that you may have missed overnight, and there is a lot going on here. How about this? The Pac-12, the conference that most people doubt, has revised its schedule featuring a mid-September start. They're the first of the Power Five to say we will definitely start late. They have three different dates for the championship game. Openers on September 19th, that's the third week of the season. Possible 10 games. Bye weeks built in. Flexibility. This is according to the Pac-12 hotline, very reputable source out there. So we'll see. Stuart Mandel joining us a little bit later on. He has some more severe doubts than that. Back at the SEC, there is talk that South Carolina and Clemson want to play. Yeah, we knew that already, but so far the SEC and, of course, the ACC remain among those leagues who have not ruled out non-conference games. So they want to play. I don't blame them. That's a big-time game. Meanwhile, while controversy reigns and skepticism is the word, Georgia is working behind the scenes on plans for fans. Why not? Jax Warbrick, he's the Notre Dame athletic director. You could say he might be the most important athletic director in the country. He wants a delayed start and play 8 to 10 games. You have not heard that from most people on this program, but that's what Jack wants, and that's what he'll probably get.
All of it is really about, you know, buying us a little bit more time to get a sense for what the landscape looks like out there in our country. We're going to play football, and I say that with the confidence based upon how well and how determined and disciplined our players are. They want to play, and they have shown over the last month the kind of commitment, the attention to detail, the discipline to play in a very difficult situation. There's a pandemic going on, and we all know that, and you have to be safe, you have to be careful. But our guys have handled it tremendously, and I'm so proud of them, and they are so committed. They want to play this game of football, and we're gonna provide them every opportunity to do so.
That is Brian Kelly acknowledging that there is a pandemic, and his guys want to play, as if that will have anything to do with the final determination. Gets crazier every day, does it not? Let's get moving along here. Enough of Brian Kelly. How about the guest list? Stuart Mandel from The Athletic, one of the top and most influential people in intercollegiate athletics. Dari Noka from the SEC Network will join us. Greg Tapper, he covers the high school and college scene out in Texas. High schools are going, or are they going out there? Meanwhile, Alabama announced their full speed ahead today. And John Wilner, who broke that big story on the Pac-12, he will also join us. And we will continue to follow the way of college football. Somebody asked me today, I was being interviewed, they said, well, what's going on in college football? I said, you're asking me? How would I know? Because it is so, so confusing. You have the Pac-12 talking about starting late. You have Brian Kelly talking like nothing is really going on. Meanwhile, his athletic director is saying maybe we should start late and play fewer games. You have the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 talking like business as usual. You have the Board of Governors still on target to meet tomorrow, although that could change, where there was some speculation they would call the whole thing off, even though they don't necessarily affect Power Five. It is there has never been a more confusing time, and I understand your frustration. This is the time of the year we should be enjoying the games and talking about what is going to happen, and instead we can't get anyone seemingly on the same page. We will take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Love to hear from all of you early in the show. Always great. We start locking down a little bit as we work our way through the afternoon. Let's get to the calls at 855-242-7285. And James is starting us off in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Hello, James.
Hello, sir. I'm just curious, is the SEC just going to play itself this year? And I also have a second question. If they do, Should they, say, maybe pull in another team, like, say, Southern Miss or Central Florida, something to that effect?
Well, right now, I think everyone is just trying to get the season started. I don't think anyone's overly concerned about anything other than getting to the first weekend. The SEC right now has not deviated. But as you have heard many times on this program, nothing is written in stone. So the plan for now is to play the season, and where games have already been canceled and many have already been scrubbed, just fill in the blanks however you best decide. Hey, thank you for the call. I really do appreciate it. Let's check out Cletus up next in Louisiana. Cletus, go right ahead.
Hi, this is Cletus from Denham Springs, Louisiana. Paul, I was just wondering, with all these coaches giving mixed messages, what do you think about what's the realistic start date for the SEC?
I still think it's more likely than not to start late. And I don't mean November, I mean maybe a week or two late. I just think if and next week is a critical date, as you've heard all the people say. If they don't have a determination next week that we are starting on time, then you have to push it back. So I think they're fighting the numbers all over the country, especially in the South. So that's a best guess. I can't tell you how many times a day I change my mind, and I know that goes the same for most of you.
So wait, you're talking about like a mid-September start?
I think that's more likely than an early start. Let me say this again. Next week is a critical date. If the SEC says next week we feel comfortable, we are going to start on time, push the lever, then that's where they go.
All right. One last thing, Paul, before you go. I just want to say that Dreamland Barbecue sucks. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Okay. Well, that would not be popular in Alabama. You're asking the wrong person, though. Casey is in Florida. You're on the air. Hey, Casey.
How you doing today?
I am doing great.
Good. Yeah, my biggest thing with all this is I don't think enough people are talking about the kids. You know, the governor of New York just said there's no crowds. People are canceling homecoming events everywhere. You know, college football is supposed to be about the kids, not the administrators, not the coaches, but about the kids. And I wish people would, you know, take them into more consideration in all this.
Well, let me ask you, how would you do it differently?
Well, I don't know if there's a way I would do it differently, but if it's not safe enough to play college football, then they shouldn't play.
But Casey, let me ask you a question. I heard the head of the head of high school athletic associations around the country say we're playing. I mean, we feel comfortable. I've heard athletic directors say the same thing. How is anyone going to know until you get players in pads doing the normal things that college football players do, and then incorporate students on campus? Until then, We're just speculating, because that's the reality. That's when this thing gets a little more complex. Right now, I don't think the players are doing anything that's harmful. They're working out, and you may argue, well, is it safe? The argument on the other side is it safer there under the jurisdiction of trainers and strength coaches and other assorted people versus them not being there like a regular student? I mean, if your regular students are home, they're trying to find some place to work out. So I get that argument, but it changes when everybody shows back up.
Well, I totally agree, and I think everybody wants to see college football, but my whole point is they need to continue to make it a great experience for the kids.
Well, I agree. I totally agree with you on that. I was reading something today where I think it was Alabama. Yeah, I was reading the High School Athletic Association director has talked about how they're going to return to play. Meanwhile, about half the state, or maybe three quarters of the state, or at least in the big cities, Mobile, I think, and Birmingham, and maybe one other city, are at least for the first part of the school year keeping children home, learning remotely. So it's okay for people to come and play football, but it's not okay to bring students back. To me, that is an issue that has to be squared here before we get too farther along, and I've yet to hear anyone come up with the same answer twice on that one. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Stuart Mandel joining us in a little while. We are off and running on a Thursday.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. We are here on a Thursday afternoon. Let's get back to the calls. And Joanne is in Memphis. Hello, Joanne.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
I am doing great.
I just wanted to ask your opinion on Dr. Fauci throwing out the first pitch, how you think he might do.
Well, he is he's an athlete. He played, I think, high school and college basketball. Now, that was just a few years ago.
Yeah.
I suspect he'll do somebody made the joke the other day. It's the first time Fauci wanted anyone to catch something.
Yeah, that's cute.
I think he'll do great. He'll be the only fan in the ballpark tonight, so I know I'll be watching.
Right. Well, I think probably a whole lot of people will be watching, and people that aren't even baseball fans.
No, it's pretty weird. I mean, opening day is always a tradition. Late March, early April. It's first opening day in late July in the history of sports.
Right. Well, this whole year has been a lot of history making. So.
It has been. Well, I think he'll do. I think it's a great event. I'm really glad to see baseball come back, and hopefully everything else will come with it. Chin is up next in New Jersey. Hello, Chin. You're on the air.
How you doing? How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
Hey there.
I just have a question. It's just crazy to me. Like, I see New Mexico starting school, starting their football, their high school football season in January. I'm seeing more conferences. We saw the Ivy League do it. Why is it so hard for, like, the Power Five conferences and some group of fives to just start the season and do everyone as a service and just starting it on January 1, having a 12-game season and ending it in March or you know, end of March? Like, why is it so hard?
Well, it isn't difficult. I mean, it can be done. I think the reason is that nobody wants to make a decision until they have to. So what I mean by that, Chen, is this. I think they want to make sure that they're making the right call because there's no guarantee in January. We could still be in trouble in spite of everything you hear. It will likely be better, but nobody wants to bet everything on it. And I think they're going to drag it out. And if they can't get it done, they'll move. But the main reason they want fall is that the playing field is better for them in terms of interest and television, because once you get into the winter, you're dealing with the end of the NFL season, assuming that
right.
happens. You're dealing with basketball season. By the time you get to March, you have March Madness, which literally is the biggest event in the country for 3 weeks, while football would be going on. Now, I say all this assuming that every other calendar stays the same. It may not. And one of the biggest reasons you hear is if the NFL won't move its draft, which no guarantee they will, then you have a lot of the best players saying, why am I going to do that? And there's one more reason. The idea of having college players play two seasons in a relatively short period of time.
Right. Yeah, that would be quite just physically tasking on players, especially if they're not willing to move the NFL draft But I'm a big fan of you, Mr. Feinbaum. Like, I'm a big fan. I love the SEC. I live in the Northeast, but, like, I've been following you maybe since I was in high school. So just keep on going, and God bless.
Chin, thank you for saying that. That really means a great deal. You be well, too. Wes is in Kentucky, and you are on the air. Hey, Wes.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing pretty well. Thank you.
Hey, Paul. So a couple of things I want to talk about with you today. I've just really been using the downtime to really study the rich history I'm discovering of all the college football programs really in the state of Kentucky. Some great players and great coaches have come through, and that's all the universities. One question I do want to ask for you, do you have any stories or experiences from your days early on maybe covering football in the state of Kentucky? But before I get there, one coach I really have been intrigued about from his history is Coach Roy Kidd.
When was Coach Kidd there? I'm trying, because I don't think I ever covered him.
Well, he was a Hall of Fame coach, and I was really reading into it last night. I want to say he was from 1964 to 2002. I mean, he's
really
had a long history at Eastern Kentucky. It's unreal reading his history.
Okay, I do remember hearing. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was thinking UK. I do know him. I mean, I don't know him, but I'm vaguely familiar with that program. But you know, I've been to Kentucky many, many times, both in football and in basketball. And you know, certainly the memories of basketball are pretty amazing. You can't walk into Rupp Arena for the first time as a college student and not have your jaw drop. It was, I think Adolph Rupp was still alive when the first time I went up there. He was sitting in right before he died. So, I mean, the memory of Kentucky basketball has always been pretty amazing. And quite frankly, I think I was at one of the most important Kentucky football games of all time a couple of years ago when we were up there for the Georgia-Kentucky game for the Eastern Division. I mean, it was absolutely amazing to soak up that scene. What else, other than Coach Kidd, who else have you read about?
Well, I mean, just really looking, I mean, like, you know, Coach Leach came through at the University of Kentucky at one point, you know, as an offensive coordinator or wide receivers coach, and really, you know, changed the game in a lot of ways with the air raid.
He sure did.
Look at players like Tim Couch. I mean, it's pretty remarkable, the amount of athletes. And
yeah, no, I agree. I've gotten to know Tim over the years. And of course, you know, in the, was it the 40s? I think it was the 40s. Coach Bryant was there. You know, pretty much that was his first. I mean, I think he started at Maryland, but it was at Kentucky that the world, maybe the 50s, where the world first became aware of him.
Imagine how much, you know, different the game would be if he would have stayed at Kentucky. I mean, I think it could be a completely different story for the University of Kentucky in a football aspect if he would have stayed. You know, I mean, I think it'd be completely different to this day and age.
I tell you what, the one thing I've always been amazed at, and having been there so many times for football games, is the passion of college football in the state of Kentucky. You know, at UK, and obviously you mentioned Eastern, Louisville has had some really good teams with going back to Howard Schnellenberger. I think Lee Corso was at Louisville at one time. So, yeah, I mean, it's a misnomer that it's only a basketball state.
Yeah, I mean, I will admit, I mean, really looking at the rich tradition, you know, the state has in football, it's pretty remarkable. It really is, and I don't think they get enough credit for it.
Well, I am glad that you pointed that out. Hey, thank you very, very much. You
thank
be well,
you.
And thanks for calling. Matt is up next in San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Matt. Matt, you there? Unusual that Matt does not answer the bell. I tell you what, why don't we just take a break and we'll get back to Matt in a few minutes. So we have Stuart Mandel coming up here in a couple of minutes. We mentioned many other guests as well. We'll dig into what the Pac-12 is up to with Stuart. He lives out there, and we're coming right back. Much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flail.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. Great to have you here, and also great to welcome Stuart Mandel to the program from The Athletic. Stuart, thanks for the time, and here we are. I think we've had many, many visits over these last 4 or 5 months, and I keep saying I think we're getting to crunch time. I'm curious, where are we right now?
Paul, I think next week will be a big week for college football. Starting Friday, actually, tomorrow, the NCAA Board of Governors meeting where they'll decide if they're going to take action on the other fall, every fall championship except FBS football, and that could have some ripple effects. But really, you know, we've heard Greg Henke, we've heard pretty much every conference for a few weeks now say they end of July was when they're going to have to make some decisions, and that's because training camp's about to open. Training camp is scheduled to open in basically 2 weeks from tomorrow, and obviously, you know, they've all said they need to see improvement, considerable improvement. And some of these numbers with COVID-19 around the country. So I don't expect anybody to come out next week and say they're canceling a season by any means, but are they going to hit pause on starting training camp to see if things get better over the next month? That's certainly a possibility.
Everyone has contingencies. Those contingencies are starting to narrow, to say the least. I read your piece yesterday in The Athletic where you came right out and said it. You don't think the Pac-12 is going to play football this year?
I think they're certainly going to try. And today, John Wilner of the Mercury News reporting that they actually have a plan for that conference-only schedule, and it would start maybe 10 games, and it would start September 19th. And there's no reason not to proceed with those plans. But there's a lot lining up against the Pac-12. California is one of the hardest-hit states right now. It's getting worse by the day. Certainly Arizona has had a lot of issues. That's six of your 12 schools right there. And you're also seeing schools in the Pac-12. USC was first, Cal. I'd expect Stanford will follow, of not having students come back in person in the fall. And not that that's a requirement to play college football, but we've certainly heard that sentiment expressed a few times. And most of all, I can't stress this enough, the political climate in the West is a lot different than other parts of the country. In other parts of the country, there are going to be politicians who will go, we'll be pushing and pressuring the schools to play football. It's the opposite out here in the West. There will be politicians who will become very concerned if they think that the student athletes are being put in harm's way in any way. So a lot for that conference to overcome. But I don't expect them to cancel, like I said, next week or anything like that. But the fact that they are the first one to come out they're about to come out and announce that they're delaying the start of the season by a couple weeks is certainly significant.
And is that simple? You've already laid it out, but is that the only thing they can do right now? Because nobody wants to say we're not playing, do they?
Yeah, nobody wants to be first, that's for sure. I think that around college football, it's easy for me to say, like, I was just playing the spring and here's a plan. But if you're actually the people who have hundreds of millions of dollars at stake, and there's no certainty, by the way, that things will be any better in January or February. And some of the dates that, for instance, California high schools have already come out and pushed things to December at the earliest, probably January. People in FBS football, there's so much money at stake. There's so much connected to this that they're going to try everything possible to play this fall. And so because of that, I could definitely see us enter a period of a lot of, stop and start, a lot of we're about to start training camp, but things aren't the right to start proceed with it right now, so we're going to pause for 2 weeks. And then you get to 2 weeks, and maybe you have to pause for another 2 weeks, or you have to pause for a month. The befuddling thing, Paul, is that nobody in college football has come out and said what exactly. They say we need to see improvement, but nobody has said what does that look like? Like, are you looking for hospitalizations to reach a certain number or number of new cases? Is it the numbers within your program, or are you more concerned about within the community around you? I get the sense there's just kind of like everybody's waiting for somebody else to tell them, to give them the okay. Nobody wants to be the first to
they were definitely doing it. Nobody wants to be the first. They were definitely not doing it.
And let's talk this through for a second, Stu, because you know, is it your best guess that the board tomorrow will not vote or will wait? I know they've been asked not to. And if they do vote, what happens?
You know, you may have seen that that Shane Lyon of the West Virginia AD, on behalf of the Football Oversight Committee, sent them a letter urging them not to have that vote yet, to give them more time to explore football. So because of that, I think college football and the Power Five in particular is basically running the NCAA right now, and I think that they will probably respect those wishes and hold off holding that vote. I do think at some point they will probably cancel those fall championships, especially if you think about FCS. Five of the 13 FCS conferences have already canceled fall football. So now one of those is the Ivy League. It's not part of the playoff. But, you know, at what point, how many conferences do you have to have a legitimate playoff? You know, I would think at some point they would say there's just too many that aren't going to be participating. Now, that doesn't mean that that they have to necessarily, that the FBS has to follow suit. But I think a lot of this comes down to optics, and there are certain dominoes that would fall that would make it harder for them to publicly justify playing college football this fall. And certainly a big one would be if the NCAA decided that it's not safe to play a volleyball championship and a soccer championship and all these things. Well, if that's the case, why would it be safe to play football?
Stuart, Mark Emmert has been a literal pinata lately. Not lately, for some time. I'm wondering, though, maybe this is the Machiavellian mind of mine, but, I mean, do you think it's possible that Emmert could you know, flat out and come out and say, I don't think we should have college football in the fall, knowing that he really doesn't run it, but at least he's on the record of having said it?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He doesn't have the power that's been clearly obvious over the past few months. They had that hearing in Washington yesterday about NIL, but it drifted into the congressman asking some questions about current events. And at some point, somebody asked him about schools that are requiring their players to sign waivers, you know, of liability from if they catch COVID. And he said, no, I don't think the school should be doing that. And you sit there and you go, but you're the president. You don't think the school should be doing it. Can't you stop them? And the answer is no. It's the inmates run the asylum when it comes to NCAA membership. So, yeah, I mean, he could, if he feels like that would put the pressure on them, he could come out and say that. But I don't think he would because, again, like, the members hold more power than him. And if he upsets the wrong people, and I think this is a big part of the tightrope that he walks, if you upset the wrong people, they could fire him. So, Greg Sankey, by all, you know, is a lot more powerful right now than Mark Emmert. So are the other four Power Five commissioners. They are basically going to dictate the terms by if they play football, when they'll play football, and the protocols that they'll use to do it.
You've alluded to the political nature of the West, so that leaves four remaining: the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, and obviously the Big 10. Of that group, do you think the Big 10 is the most likely to break away from the others, or do you think everyone is in this for as long as they can go?
Well, I think the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are pretty closely aligned, as evidenced by the timing of their conference schedule announcements. The interesting thing about the Big Ten is that part of the country is not where we're having issues right now. So whatever their presidents and ADs feel, I don't think that they are dealing with necessarily the same situation that the schools in California are, or the schools in Texas, or the schools in Florida. So I don't know that there's a pressure point right now that's demanding that the Big Ten cancel their season. I think they are in position to keep trying. It'll be interesting to see when they unveil their version of what the Pac-12 is about to unveil. Are they thinking the same thing? 10 games, 9 games, a later start date? I think that'll give you a little bit of thinking into where the Big Ten, how they feel about the state of things right now.
And finally, let me get you to the SEC, Stuart, because, you know, Sankey has been very public lately. He was on Real Sports the other day. He's been on here and ESPN and countless other places, saying all the right things. But, you know, you contradict that with what Sankey said about 2 weeks ago when he was extremely concerned about the conditions, which, by the way, are getting worse. They're not getting better. where do you think he is right now? Because, you know, he's got a football-starved public, but he also deals with 14 presidents who may have a different opinion.
Well, I think everybody is in it together. The politicians, the presidents, Sankey, everybody realizes the enormity of actually making a decision to not play football in the SEC. I mean, it's just a whole different animal than it is for certainly the other conferences. And so, I mean, my guess is they will just keep punting it down the road until they can't possibly do it anymore. And I couldn't tell you what would be the event that would make it impossible. I don't think they know that themselves. It does seem like there's a lot of resistance, maybe a bit surprisingly so, to playing in the spring. The way you hear it talked about, kind of whispered about in the SEC versus some of the other parts of the country, is that it's just not an option. You know, we play in the fall or we don't play, which I find hard to believe. I think they will, if they had to, they would. But it's all kind of, it all follows the same narrative of, I don't think they're going to let anybody else tell, the SEC is not going to let anybody else tell them that they can or can't play football this fall. And I don't think they're going to cancel it unless they absolutely have to. I think that would be a situation where you could see them not, if they don't feel comfortable doing it in early September, then maybe they push it to early October. If it's still not comfortable then, maybe you push it to mid-October. And I don't know, what's the last possible date you can start a football season and still get it in? I don't know. But I know the SEC will be the very last one to decide they can't do it.
Stuart, before you go, it's almost become a parlor game trying to predict the percentages, and I don't know. I mean, I've been asked the same question that we've all been asked, and it's different every day you talk about it. But I mean, realistically, are we looking? Is it more likely that we have a delayed start? We're assuming that we're having a season, but in terms of Labor Day, is that ship starting to sail?
I think so. I say that, and on the same day that it came out that the Pac-12 is going to play September 19th, it came out that TCU is about to schedule a week zero August 29th game against UNLV. I mean, we've talked about this when you came on our show, Paul. It's just, we're operating in like two different universes right now, where some people are kind of accepting reality and making contingency plans, and others are plowing full speed ahead. I don't think we're going to be playing Labor Day weekend, because that requires starting training camp in about 2 weeks from today. And is the situation in our country going to get that considerably better over the next 2 weeks? I can't see. I mean, I hope it starts improving for sure. And we are starting to see the case numbers go down in some of the key states, but it's not going to be radically different 2 weeks from now. If I had to guess, and my opinion on this changes every week as the situation changes, is that our most likely scenario is some sort of delayed, shortened season in the fall. I think that the people in college football would rather do that than punt it to the spring. And I also think most people, whether they'll say it or not, realize that a full 12-game schedule starting September 5th is no longer in the cards.
Okay. Meanwhile, tickets are available for that week zero game at TCU. Stuart, great to have you on. Thank you so much for making time.
All right. Thanks so much, Paul.
You bet. Stuart Mandel gave us the political situation out west. And you heard, everything's a prediction right now, but you're starting to hear qualifiers. And if a decision has to be made next week, Stuart is clearly indicating what he thinks will happen. We'll take a break. Get your reaction to all of that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back, and Joseph is in New York. You're on the air. Hey, Joseph.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Taking my call.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm a respiratory therapist in New York, proud Auburn graduate.
Wonderful.
I'll tell you this. There is nothing like SEC football. I have been blessed to see games in the Swamp, in Nielsen, and I have to say this, you know, football can happen. It can't happen this fall as much as we want to, because we know that this decision is strictly with the administrators and the ADs. But we keep forgetting, under those helmets are kids. Kids. Not grown adults living, making millions of dollars. Kids. And my plea is, you know, to the parents of these kids, you know, it's not a matter, Mr. Feinbaum, is a child going to die from this virus on one of these teams? It's not a matter if, it's when, and when that happens. And as much as I would love football to start, trust me, you know, there's so much about SEC football that is so much greater than any other conference on a Saturday all throughout the Southeast. But we have to concentrate now on 2021 and leave 2020 behind. You know, we have to get ourselves together, control this virus, and bring these kids back in an absolute safe environment. Yeah, I make this point, Mr. Feinbaum, and I appreciate it, and I'll go. You know, I came down to the emergency room in my hospital a couple of weeks ago, and I remember being in the emergency room, and I noticed that a lot of the beds that we were usually crowded with were empty. And, you know, I made a point to one of the nurses, Mr. Feinbaum, and I said, you know, oh, we're clearing out. We must be getting better. And the nurse turned to me and said, no, those patients died. And it's something that we really have to think about, because these kids now that we're going to send back to play football are nothing but the gladiators, and the administrators and the ADs and the presidents are nothing but Caesars. And it's thumbs up they live, thumbs up they die. Let's bring these kids back in an absolute safe environment in 2021. Let's make sure that we follow the CDC's rules. And, you know, let's make SEC football what it's supposed to be. Because even if we play in the fall, you know and I know it and every SEC fan knows, it's not going to be the same on Saturdays, okay? War Eagle, and I appreciate it, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you very much.
So nice of you to call. We stay in New York, two calls in a row. Mike on Long Island. Mike, thanks. Great to have you on.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? First time calling. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Your friend that was on before actually touched on one of the points I wanted to talk about. I think in respect to the last caller, I think that we're going to have some form of college football. Something's going to be played. But my question to you is, I'm curious about your expertise on this. How do you feel about the smaller market teams that are scheduled to play these big teams? Now, there's a lot of revenue involved, and these teams depend on this money, and it trickles down to other sports in the curriculum. And as I said, I mean, you have teams, just to throw two names out, you could have Alabama play Tennessee, Chattanooga, and these teams depend on this money. This is money that they've waited for these games. How do you feel this is going to
affect? Mike, let me jump in because of time. That is going to be the biggest casualty of all of this, assuming that there is a season. The SWAC teams like Alcorn, we had the announcer on the other day from there, some of these smaller schools that have to have the money. If they don't have the money, they're going to struggle. They're going to lose that, and it's not going to be made up in the spring very easily. I don't think there's an easy answer for that, because these small schools just don't have the means as the bigger schools do. Hey, thank you so much for the call. I hate to run. We're out of time for this hour. Three more to go.